why do we worry so much? I think it goes that this morning my devotion to reading with that just goes right along with what we're learning about, and what we're learning about in the mastering spiritual gifts. I'm gonna do a quick 5-minute recap, kind of where we've been here over the last couple weeks, because we had a little different meeting last week, and I didn't get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit like we're going to get into it today. And remember, I said, if you got your notebook, get ready and your pens. We're going to have a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to go over all of them, but I want you to look them up, because I want you to understand what it means, okay? Not just me preaching to you or teaching to you or any of that. You need to get in your mind about this thing. And last week I questioned about what is the first thing that you talk whenever you hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's several that were here or not here today. I remember a couple faces, but what is the first thing anybody thinks of when they
speaking in tongues?
Somebody said speaking in tongues. That's right. Okay. What else?
You hear Holy Roller.
Holy Rollers. All right. What else? Somebody said cult. I heard cult.
That's right.
Last week. You know. Anybody else? What's the first thing? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Another way it's said is, like the song, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody shaking and falling out on the ground.
Yes, being slain in the Spirit.
Being slain in the Spirit. Okay. Now, remember, going back a few weeks ago, we talked about this. Now, this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts. What are they? They're two separate things. We got to understand. We got to categorize them as what? The gifts of the Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what? They're two different entities, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We get that mixed up, okay? We think of it. You have the baptism, mm-hmm. All right?
The Holy Spirit.
He is a different gift, all right? Now, remember that. I'm going to go back through real quick some of those notes I had. But God wants us to discover the gifts of the Holy Spirit because it helps us function. It helps us, as Christians, find our calling, to find where we fit in the body of Christ, all these things. And what is the first thing you think of when you hear gifts?
Christmas.
Yay! Yeah! Christmas!
That's right.
We love gifts, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But why is it then we don't seek gifts from God?
Ooh, there's responsibility behind it.
Ooh.
Say it louder.
Because there's responsibility behind it.
There's responsibility.
Very good.
What if God says, I take all the burden off of you, and there is no responsibility behind it?
Would you want them?
Would you want it then?
Mm-hmm.
So then why do we put so much pressure on ourselves about that?
Wow.
Oh, I could preach on that. Come on.
Ooh.
God says it's grace. It's a gift. What we're saved by.
Grace
through faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's not of ourselves. It's what?
Of God.
A gift,
uh-huh,
of God. So, is there any pressure in that?
No.
So what if we take the pressure off, like you said, the responsibility? Huh? And we really look at the gifts as big Christmas. Woo! God wants to give you,
yeah,
the gifts. But most people are so spooked and so... weirded out about, because of traditions of men, teachings and things that, well, we won't even call them teaches, but what we've heard from grandma's grandma, our own passed down, and all these things, and we're not open. So before I start this morning, I want to pray over you that you are open. Anybody want to be open for all of God this morning,
yes,
without any kind
of, yes.
Father, this morning I lift this whole congregation of gathering of these saints and these men and women of God, that they'll even look at themselves as a saint who now sometimes sin, not just an old sinner who is saved by grace, but the goodness, God, you lift that burden off of them, and this morning, through that same supernatural grace you give us all, Lord, may everyone have open minds to receive from you this morning, not from me. God, speak through me and in spite of me. Move me out of the way, God, that your word would become a lamp, a light to shine in the darkness of the things, and take away the enemy's seed and plant yours this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know what I shared a little last week about how, you know, when I come, my BC days, I was all in for the enemy, the devil, myself, everything but God. But when I got right with the Lord, I was just raw, I'll use that word, raw enough to say, okay, God, I know I need all of you. I've got to have all of you, God. I remember that dead religion. I went to church when I was young, and I'm just calling it what it is. I'm not picking on a denomination. It was dead religion. I hated the old church as a kid, as a young. Even only one time in my life did I really enjoy going to church, and that was in my teen years. And there was a move of the power of the Holy Spirit in a Baptist church because a few people went to camp meeting. And they got a little Holy Ghost power. And all of a sudden it spread. That's what happens when you get into the baptism and you get into what the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, it spreads. It's because it's like a fire, it says. It's inside of you and it comes out. And I know this is strange for some people. Some people come out of the Baptist, Methodist, whatever, it doesn't matter, church or religion, any of that. I just want you to be open for God. Can you allow yourself, okay, I forget about what this one said or that one said or they said, and I just want, God, I want you to tell me, I want it all. I want all of you. So this morning, anybody going with me there?
Amen.
Want to be a conduit for God?
Amen.
All right, so how do we receive the gifts of the Spirit? We talked about that. You first of all, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus. That's the first thing you have to. And we talked about believe and receive the promises from God the Father. You have to be informed. You have to. Somebody has to tell you these things. And then like the proper use of the gifts, we talked about that. Now then, the last thing we talked about, the gifts of the Holy Spirit can be divided into three categories. Now these are going to be coming as we go on through mastering gifts, and I'm going to get back on Holy Spirit in a minute, but these three gifts are important because some wasn't here. I want you to hear them. They're called the revelation gifts, okay? Anybody know one or all three?
Word of wisdom, word of prophecy, prophecy, word of wisdom, and...
Now, prophecy is in the next one. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. Okay, those are three in the revelation gifts. Discerning spirits are in utterance gifts, okay? Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Those are the utterance gifts.
What are utterance?
One more time is speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. The utterance of gifts, okay? It's easy to remember, right? Spoken. And the last one's power gifts. The power gift. Faith, healing, and miracles.
Right.
So it's real easy. Break it down that way. Three categories. Everybody get those?
Yeah.
And you can always check my notes later if you can't write it down. So remember, there's where we're going to be going throughout the next few weeks, into these things of learning. Somewhere in your life, in your ministry, you're going to function, if you search God, in some of these categories in your life. Bill, tell them yours, Doctor. You're one. You may function a lot of them. You're one, number one gift.
Well, that's right. Healing. Well, you know, I've had... sporadically prophetic also.
Okay. But your main priority is healing. Okay. And you'll have it's not, we can receive them all.
That's
okay.
Right.
God can give freely any of those gifts. Okay. But more than likely, you'll find one that you're better at or God has specifically moved you in that area. Okay. Anybody else know one of theirs or theirs strong? And it's okay if you don't. That's all right. That's why we're doing this, right? So you can know. All right? So, those main scriptures we went were 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31, and Ephesians 4 through 16. All right, now that was a recap on the first week of this, Mastering Spiritual Gifts. Now, Baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to be over in the book of Acts 1 and 1 through 8. Therefore, we started last week and didn't get far. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gateway to these spiritual gifts. It's like the gateway. And it's the endowment from power for service to be empowered over the flesh and the enemy. It's always the battle between what? Flesh and the enemy. Now everybody in here battles that, either the flesh or the enemy all the time in our life. So this is so key and so vital in your life. If you wonder why you're always just getting beat up, I mean just have no victory, it's probably because you hadn't received this yet. Okay? Doesn't mean you're not saved. All right, don't let nobody tell you that. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Now, the being baptized in the Holy Spirit is not optional, but imperative in the sense that we are powerless without Him. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that. For you were what? Once darkness, but now you're light in the world. Live as children of light. God wants us all to receive the power to overcome and walk in the power that we can with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to face the world and all principalities and enemies. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will prepare us for the spiritual warfare and make us soldiers for the Lord. It's a battle, guys, that Paul talks all throughout his, you know, not only with the flesh, but the enemy. He does not like you to have victory. He does not like you to be one of God's warriors.
That's right.
You know why people give up? I bet Dr. D. Ortega can tell you so many men of God who's called to be preachers or pastors or not in preaching or pastoring. Either one or two things, because they're somebody's told them or a religion or whatever has told them, well, okay, I'm going to just pick on this one because it's one of the most known. Well, you've been divorced before.
Come on.
So you can't be a pastor.
Come on.
Anybody ever heard that one?
Sure. Yeah.
Can I hear something about that right there?
Yeah.
When I was in my first marriage, and it was abusive, and all I cared about was serving the Lord. All I wanted to do was be a minister to the Lord. The crisis of faith I had was so great. The condemnation I felt was so bad that if I got a divorce, I would never be able to serve God. So my choice was staying with an abusive person who was abusive to me and my children, and ministering, or leaving and never being able to. It got so bad, I wanted to kill myself. That's how horrible. And it was,
you were in a church and thought that no divorce ever.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much that they said that. It was the basic condemnation I put on myself. So, but anyway. So
because it was told and taught by them,
that, you know,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
can I ask you, do you think God is that way?
No, He's a good, good Father.
Yes, He is. He is. Sound like a song. Yes, He is. He is a good Father. Anybody think of another one right off? I see some women. I see some women in here. Some of my women, y'all need to jump on this one because.
Well, it's a big belief that women couldn't be ministers or pastors in the faith.
There we go. There we go.
Women can be ministers, yeah.
That's right.
Well, you can take parts of scriptures and interpret them and twist them and put them however you want to put them.
That's right.
But the fact was that women was one taking care of business with Jesus.
Amen.
Way more than the disciples that was around him.
They were
all right?
Funding his ministry. They were.
And I'm not going to go into this deep, but I can tell you the Bible will show you that there was diakonos, and that's the word for women, deacons.
And
deacons, same thing.
Right.
Apostles, ministers, okay?
Right.
Now, I will say this. There is accountability. There is a head. It says they do not usurp authority. So there is a covering. There's a whole covering about it. There's a whole thing about it. So you cannot have, it doesn't matter if you call a woman bishop, bishop so-and-so a woman, but she has to have a bishop over her, okay? Of what I believe and what I've been taught in the, or from the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Is that good? Amen? All right, so these things, though, is what keep people out of the fullness of God and finding their ministry.
That's right.
And to a point even of so much guilt and condemnation that, that you can even just want to give up. You can want to just take your own life and say, you know, what is this guilt? Guilt and condemnation does never come from God.
That's right.
Let me tell you. If God, if Jesus died for our sins, he died for them all.
That's
okay?
Right.
It doesn't matter if you've been divorced and it was your fault.
That's
and
right.
You were the one in the sin. That's okay. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient.
That's right.
He died for all of our sin. And when we repent of our sin,
that's right.
What? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not just a little bit.
That's right.
All of it.
That's right.
All of it. Put it in the past. Somebody needs to put some stuff in the past this morning. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we went to Acts 1, and everybody that's been in church a while knows this. It's red writing. And Jesus, and I'm not going to go through 1 through 8 like we did before, but concentrating on 8, it says, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and into all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, somebody tell me what that word power means.
Dynamite.
I'm going to give it to you in the whole translation over here. I marked it in my in the Greek. Okay. I had it marked. I guess that's what it fell out of my book this morning when I got up here. All right. So dunamis in the word 1411. Here we go. 1411. It is, and it derives from 1410. Which is dunamai, and uncertain, to be able or possible. Look at your neighbor saying, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Be able, can do, it says, could, may, might be possible, be of power. That's where it derives from, but it says it's a force, miraculous power, unusually, but implanted by a miraculous, by a miracle itself. Ability, abundance, meaningfulness, all this stuff, power, strength, violence, mighty, wonderful works. Those are some words that are used along with that. Dunamis. It's where we get dynamite from. Our word from the Greek, it comes into the English translation, dynamite. Boom! Power. See, there's a lot of powerless Christians out there right now. And maybe you're one of them. It's all right. I hope you ain't when you leave here. Or I hope you go home and you seek the power.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, God got me right in. I didn't have to. Yes, he can use laying on hands. We're going to talk about all that stuff. But he, if you seek God, he wants to give it to you. He said if you knock, you keep knocking until you get it. Seeking him until you find it. All right, but I did in my bedroom. I fell down on my knees and said, God, I want all of you. I've got to have it all. I know the drugs are trying to pull me back. People are knocking at my door wanting some more. They're wanting me to come out and party. God, I got to have more. See, you've got to get to somewhere in your life where you say, I've got to have it all, God. And when you do, it's that time when you can get filled with the Spirit, and He'll rise up within you. And then you got the power to say no.
Yes,
you got the power to say no to all, any kind of addiction, any bad habit, anything in your life can be broken because of the power of God.
Yes.
You see, there's a lot of powerless Christians out there who are living defeated lives that nobody will stand up and tell them about the power of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts.
Yes.
Where Jesus told him, He said, it's expedient that I go to the Father so that I'll send another. And when that another comes, which is the Holy Spirit, He's going to endue you with power from on high.
Yes.
That same miraculous power that it says right here. It's like a dynamite. It's going to blow up inside of you. You'll stand up and preach. You'll stand up and teach. You'll be the one that can stand in the face of the enemy and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You have no authority in Jesus' name." Right now is a good time for somebody to clap and get excited about the Lord this morning. I mean, I'm feeling the power right now. Hallelujah. You see, like Elijah, listen to this. Elijah who passed the mantle to Elisha. Anybody know that story?
Yep. Yeah.
Somebody tell me about the story. What happened?
Elijah was the master prophet. And he did many things, many miracles, and Elisha was his disciple. And Elisha wanted as much or more of the power and the prophetic ability that Elijah had. And so Elijah had to give his
mantle on him. Yes. I like what you said. He wanted more. You got to want it.
Yes.
The reason people don't receive it because they really don't want it.
That's right.
They really don't want it. There's a little bit of still, like, I don't know, man.
Uh-huh.
I got to sell out here, totally.
Yes.
You know, well, I mean, you got, well, it is a gift. He is a gift. And there is more. Now, Jesus passes us that mantle the same way. Through the Holy Spirit. It's like a same mantle. He's passing. He said, that's why I got to go to the Father. I can't be everywhere. He said, greater things shall you see. How in the world could that happen? When he just raised the dead. He just laid hands on people and blind eyes open. People got up and walked. They've been lame for years and years. On and on and on. In the book of John it says, and the books couldn't contain, it says, probably the things that Jesus did in his 32 years from when he started, when he received the Holy Spirit and all the things that happened. It said the books can't contain. And so Jesus wants to pass that on. See, it's that dunamis, and it's an inherent power. One translation said it's inherent. What does that mean?
It comes with. It's a part of. It's
yeah.
naturally a part of.
Right.
So the power is naturally a part of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have inherently His power.
Right.
Not
yes.
our power, but His.
So with that said, every believer
that's right.
has the Holy Spirit.
That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
But not every believer has His power. Does that make sense?
They have it, but they're not using
They hadn't tapped into it. They hadn't
That's
received
right.
it. They hadn't wanted it.
That's right.
Because there's a baptism, just like by faith, when you're baptized in the water. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but we're right there. We've got to go there. There's something more. There's a reason. And let's go there. Let's keep going. All right. So, baptism of the Holy Spirit gives the believer the ability to speak with boldness. I couldn't do this without it. There's no way. Just an old country boy. Went 10th grade education. I'll tell you what, the Bible didn't make sense to me. The thus thou's and the these. I could have read it 1,000 times and it wouldn't have made sense to me.
That's right.
Because I was always taught King James. That's the only way.
That's right.
But when I was open and I decided to say, well, you know what? Why they got all these translations? If it ain't for everybody, why, you know? I started seeking God. I started wanting everything. I started getting in the Word. And the things that I didn't believe or I didn't trust, I put it on the shelf. God said, put it on the shelf. You ain't got to know it all right now. Just put it up there and I'll show you in time.
That's right.
I'll show you in time.
Amen.
Okay, so if you ain't there right now, that's all right. Put it up on the shelf. All right? God won't let it collect dust too long. Trust me. If you keep seeking it,
that's right.
It'll come out. But when I really started seeking God, and I opened up this Word, and I realized, wow, there's something about this. Everything can apply in my life. Golly, boom, I didn't know this story was in there. Wow. Things started coming alive to me.
That's right.
I started understanding what the Word of God was. Yeah, I may not be the best book smart man around, but I'll tell you what, He gives me revelation. He gives me all these gifts and the utterance gifts, the prophetic words, all the things, the speaking in tongues, the power gifts, all these things because He wants to give them to me. He knows I need them in my life. And I've got a story I'll share in a minute. Happened to me just the other night. It gives the power to preach the gospel fearless, to give the ability to discern the craftiness of Satan. It gives power to overcome sin. It gives power to overcome and shake off the traditions and doctrines of false religions and man. And I think that's important to stop there a second, because people can be an influence in your life that don't need to be an influence in your life.
Mm-hmm.
We're always wanting things, right? It's a need we have as individuals. And somebody, there's a lot of crafty people with that can teach you things that are really not God. They can twist the doctrines around. They can twist all these things down. So it's okay to say, even with me, I want you to go seek it. Find the truth. It says the reason that we got to seek God. We got to keep looking ourselves. And, you know, no man knows it all. No man. Beware of those men that will say they have an answer for everything. Just the way it is. Now, there's a lot of men of wisdom, women of wisdom, and you want them in your life. But you got to be careful with those that, when it just don't line up with the Word, then guess what? You're in a dangerous spot. That's all I'm going to say about that. It gives power to praise and worship the living God in spirit and in truth. The Bible says, in John 4:2, we're to worship God in what?
Spirit and truth.
Why? Why spirit and truth? Because He's a spirit.
And He is the truth.
God is a spirit.
Yeah.
Does that blow somebody's mind? Really, we don't think about that, do we? We see the story, or maybe watch 10 Commandments on TV or something, right? Moses goes up on the mountain. That's a great analogy, I guess, don't you think? Or a little bit. Anybody ever watch that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, sort of kind, I guess. But then again, we can't put God in a box. He's so big. He is so big. But when we worship Him in the spirit within, and the truth of repentance, we're open, then guess what? We come in His presence. We come in a place like Moses. It's like, he couldn't even look upon Him. So, but the power, can you imagine? It's that same presence. And I want you to feel it. Sometimes you get into praise and worship, and the Spirit falls like that strong on people. They'll be weeping and crying and laying around sometimes. I know we haven't experienced that yet, but I believe this is so needed in our church and in your life, that you can come in the presence of the Almighty just like that. Now, the role of the Holy Spirit, let's talk about that in the life of the believer. I got 15 minutes. I'm going to try to get through this. If we don't, it's okay. We'll keep going next week. Every born-again believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's the Spirit of God that brings souls to Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of soul winners out there, evangelists, all this stuff. They're great preachers. There's great teachers. There's great pastors, all that stuff. But it is the Spirit that draws all men.
That's right.
Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anybody remember that time when that Spirit, something's just drawing you? You might have been like this on the back of the seat or the pew. Is that, anybody know what I'm talking about? Holding on? Well, He's drawing you. God's drawing you. Because it says that God wants it, that every man should know. Before Jesus returns, every man will hear every the gospel, okay? Now, Acts 19 and 2 right here, those are, we got Romans, 8 and 9. Somebody read that for me. Who wants to?
Acts 1.
Romans 8 and 9. It's up here on the board. I want you to mark it, in, write it down on your notes so where you can look it up later.
8, verse 9?
Yeah.
Can I read out my Bible?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him.
Okay, that puts it pretty plain, don't it? You know, so if you don't have the Spirit of God living inside and dwelling inside of you, you're not God's. You're not of God. You're lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's not enough just to believe. It's a, you have to receive.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, it sounds like a pretty good story. Not enough to believe, you have to receive.
Yeah.
All right, and then we have Romans 8 and 10 there. Go on. But Christ, but if Christ is in you, then you, then what?
Then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness.
Because of righteousness. Who's righteous?
Christ's
righteousness, not ours. It's not of works that any man should boast. See, if it was right, if we put it in our hands, it's what? We're haughty, prideful. We, man, it's not of works that any man should boast.
So nothing shall separate us from the love of
Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God.
But
that's right.
And like it says there, even though our body sins, mm-hmm. you know, and then we feel like useless or worthless. Right. And that, but he says, no, you're no longer judged by what your body does.
Yes,
because
exactly.
you have the Holy Spirit, and you're stamped righteous, right with God. So because we've got the Spirit in us, we no longer want to do those things
that's right.
that are wrong.
Amen.
But Jesse, if we keep doing what's wrong, it means we're fighting against the flesh. That's
right.
No condemnation. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who walk, who have the Spirit, and not only the flesh.
Absolutely. And so not only is, was it Jesus expedient that he go to the Father to send another, but also that now he is what? He's at the right hand of the Father, and he is interceding for you and I and everyone in this room. He is our mediator. I mean, need a lawyer every now and then. So, with that said, thank God for his righteousness. Amen. So now we're in right standing with God. And then there's Galatians 4:6. But almost y'all can look that one up. So, number two, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a different experience than salvation.
Yes.
That's right.
Now here we go. All right, we're getting in the meat of this because there's this is not taught a lot.
Yeah.
All right, look at Acts 19. 1 and 2.
And it is up there.
Okay. Now, who is this here? Who wrote Acts? I asked this last week.
Luke.
All right.
Luke.
Hey.
Luke.
Heard a lot of answers different last week. Now everybody knows, right? It was Luke.
Yeah.
For a long time, I thought it was Paul, too. So if anybody thought it was Paul, don't. Until I got a study Bible and really got to study, I thought that was Paul. All right, Paul, this is Paul at Ephesus, and he said, and it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. What's the upper country? It's another, it's not likely where Paul would have been going, we'll just say that, okay, in the, before Christ. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Plain out. When you believed. And they said to him, no. We have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he said,
into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Mm-hmm. Now, what is that saying? Who's John?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he turned Baptist.
And he baptized for the remission.
Let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
All right. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of what?
Repentance.
Telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they'd heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see a difference?
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Ephesians 1:13. Back in time, let's look on the board. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit.
Yeah. What's the seal?
The seal. Tell us, you're itching.
The seal, when they would send a letter on a scroll or whatever, they would have, let's say, a ring, or they would have something.
Wax.
And they would have wax, and they would press it. They would close it by putting the hot wax on it and pressing the seal, okay, which meant it was theirs. So if we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that means it has God's identification, his signet ring, and we are now his. It's like being branded or stamped or tattooed.
Now back down in 19 and 7 it says, and there were in all about 12 men. So these were disciples.
People knew about.
These were disciples. So they were believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that just blow all this stuff out of the water about there's the same baptism?
Right.
It's not. Okay. These disciples were saved, but not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the Holy Spirit and salvation are two different experiences. Acts 8, 12 through 17. Flip over there. I got to hurry. I knew I wouldn't get through it, but that's all right. We ain't in no hurry with this.
Behind you.
Yeah, well, I like my Bible. See, I'm going to tell you, you get used to somebody doing it for you. I want you to do it yourself. That's why I'm challenging you. Bring your Bibles, bring your notebooks. They ain't nothing, just, you ever watch, I love Charles Stanley, he's a good old Baptist preacher. But you look at his congregation, they got their Bibles, their notepads, their pens, they're ready. That's why I will see y'all, get ready, all right? Come expecting from God, not just me, but come, God's going to speak to you, write it down. This is the time to be with you and the Lord. 8, 12 through 17. Somebody read that real quick.
So when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and the miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So this is an impartation of their faith to them. All they had to do is receive, believe and receive, okay? But you see it again. Is it two different?
Yes.
Experiences? Acts 9:17. Well, I just read that. So you see there, one may be born again and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. With salvation experience, there's an impartation of new spiritual life. Okay? Born again. It's a born again experience. But with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's an impartation of new power. Power. Get it? Dunamis.
When we're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit, but there is something that happens the baptism of the Holy Spirit does something separate than just having the Holy Spirit
that's
in you.
Right.
It releases right. the power of the Holy Spirit that's already in you.
Amen.
Not only that, but it endues you with that same power when you need it.
It releases the power.
It releases it for every believer. Does that make sense to everybody? It's like tapping in. It's like plugging in to that outlet. I'm getting a little weak. My battery's running down. Energizer Bunny, right?
That's
right. Everybody getting this? It's okay. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to close. All right. Note, Jesus, oh, here we go. Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit after his water baptism. Matthew 3, 15 to 17. Write it down. Look over there real quick. You get lost up there? That ain't up there, right?
No. Fruit?
Just look that up, okay? Though he already had a spiritual experience, and Luke 2:40, write that down, will tell you that. He'd already had, and that was from a young age. Anybody remember that in the story of Jesus? What happened?
I mean, when he was 12?
Yeah.
He was at the temple, and he got separated from his parents, and they freaked out. And they came back and found him, and he said, why would you think I'd be about my father's business in the temple, in my father's house?
Yeah. So he had already experienced, and that was like, see, remember now, what happened in the Old Testament? How did the Holy Spirit move in the Old Testament?
He came upon them.
Yes.
They didn't live inside them.
He didn't live inside. He came upon the prophets. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus stood up at 12. Okay? Getting this? He was as much man as he was God. He went through everything that you and I did. So, amazingly, at 12 years old, the Spirit come upon him, and he got up, and he started preaching. And we don't know how long, but it was a while, because his parents got worried. Where's he at? Where's Jesus? Everybody looking for Jesus. Joseph, go find Jesus. He's run off. He's run off. Can't find him nowhere. And there he was over there. He's like, woman? For the first time, didn't he? He didn't call her mama. Ooh, that preached all that song. Golly. Don't you know it's about my... I was about my father's business. He has matured into the place where he had an experience with the Holy Spirit. And he knowed where his calling was. Ooh, gosh. I don't know. It's kind of cool in here, but I'm still getting the goosebumps. It was after the Spirit had come upon him that he was anointed with the power of God to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 61:1. Look that up.
What are you reading?
61:1. This is my stuff. This is a note.
Oh, okay.
Just write the scripture down and look it up. I got 2 minutes. So Jesus didn't...
61?
Get that. Yeah, Isaiah 61:1. You can read that whole 61 prophetic word. Jesus didn't need to speak in tongues because he had the fullness of the Spirit. John 3:34. He didn't need to speak in tongues. All right. I know there's some religions going to tell you unless you speak in tongues, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Not true.
I do not believe that.
That's
okay.
Right.
And so he could function in any gift, however, he wanted to whenever he wanted. Why?
He had the fullness of the Spirit.
That's right. We only have a measure of the Spirit, the Word says in Ephesians 4:16. What do I mean by that? A measure of Spirit.
We only access a portion, like our brain. Supposedly, we only access a portion of our brain.
That's right.
In that same way, in the natural, we normally only access a portion.
Absolutely. So that's why we need to sometimes be energized.
Refilled.
Rekindle, reflect, fire burn again. Just like you stoke the fire up. Anybody, the fire emblems just kind of burning out. What the blacksmith does, Next thing you know,
that's pretty smart.
Man, next thing you know, it's 1,000 degrees. It's power in that, okay? That's what God does through the baptism of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Write that down, look it up. So we have many holes in our life that allow us to be filled with the Spirit continuously. Ephesians 5:18. All right. A couple more things, and then we're going to stop before I get in. The Holy Spirit is for all believers. The disciples were already believers before Pentecost.
That's right.
Luke 10:20. Write that down. Their lives had been changed by the Holy Spirit. John 20:21-23. That's why they could pray, receive revelations, and work in unity. Acts 12:14-22, and Luke 24:53. Told you I was going to give you a lot of scriptures. However, they still need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower them. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus. And anybody know who Paul was in his B.C. days? He's a good old Jew.
Saul.
He was Saul. And what was he?
Christian killer.
He was a killer.
Murderer.
Yeah, he was. He had an experience with Jesus on the road, but it was when Ananias, now think about this, okay?
Right.
Now he had an experience. Put this together. He was struck down on the road.
That's right.
And so God had to blind him. Did it like me. He had to blind old Roddy. And then he went, he had an experience. He's like, whoa, I don't know, what is this? Who are you? But Jesus. But then it was when Ananias prayed and done what? Laid hands on him that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And baptism with the Holy Spirit is a total different experience from the salvation experience.
Excellent teaching.
Next week we'll get into number 3, the point, the Holy Spirit is for all believers. Okay? Everybody okay? We'll take any questions or anything, or if you need, if I went to